section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
Some releases this week. TNA spoils a major angle, and Ambrose picks his match type. All this and much, much more in this week's Off the Mark.
This is TNA Impact referee Brian Hebner, and you're listening to Off the Mark.
86 Productions.
Episode of Off the Mark. We are the podcast that provides the most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. I am Andrew. He is Aaron. Let's get right into the news. So Buff Backwell is going to be doing some educational videos. What's going on with this, Aaron?
Yeah, so he was, of course, the star of Showtime's Gigolos. And by star, I mean, you know, a little bit part there. But he apparently has fallen on hard times. So he's going to be doing an adult film, and it's going to be coming out here, pretty soon. I got to ask you, I know that you were a huge fan of China's work. Are you looking forward to seeing Buff Bagwell?
No, I was not. And no, I'm not either, because I think it's weird because even his wife is involved with this. And apparently The gigolo business is not doing too well. So he's now doing this business, which I guess if you get your wife involved and you need the money, apparently they need it real bad. He's doing it. But here's the weird part. Does this just prove the point that some professional wrestlers, when they were making the big money in WCW and then when they went to the WWE, do you think that he's never changed that lifestyle and didn't save properly, and that's why he's stuck doing these films?
Yeah, I think so. I think that he is, I mean, when you look at him, he's the type of person that you see, being an athlete of some sort. And he, unfortunately, doesn't have that ability anymore. So he's trying to be an entertainer in some way, shape, or form. And so for him, you know, he thought, well, the easiest route I could go is be a gigolo or something. You know, I mean, something happened for him to do that. And then from there, you know, you move into the adult film industry. And you know, he has the ability where he has a name that will draw some sort of money. Me personally, I don't want to see somebody that I grew up watching wrestle, who I was not a big fan of. I don't want to see him, you know, perform in a different way. So I think that they're hoping that they'll get a little bit more of an audience. But I think that wrestling fans they'd be after a different type of a performer, like a female one and not a male one.
I actually do agree with that. The one thing I don't agree that's going on right now is the fact that Cesaro is told that he can no longer do the swing. The swing is the one thing that got him over and the fans dug it. Why is he not? Why can't he do it? Why are they telling him this?
So one of the things that had happened was a lot of the dirt sheets were reporting this. And then, of course, he did it on the Raw right after they reported it. And they were saying, that he's not allowed to do it because he was getting over. And it's not that they don't want him to do it because he was getting over. They don't want him to do it because he was getting over as a face. And they want Cesaro to be a heel. And I think that that's the wrong route for him to go. I think that he could be a pretty good face, you know, because he is a pretty much a fan favorite, you know, I mean, for the most part. But they're trying to make him into a heel. And so they don't want him to do the swing because of that, because people like, you know, counting. I mean, you know, it's just like when you go into a corner and you punch the guy for 10, you know, 10 hits. People like that. You know, it's fun for them. It's same thing with the swing. So I think it's really dumb. I think that you really have an opportunity here to get Cesaro over as a face, and then you could turn him heel. You know, I mean, just get him so he's over. That's what I would do.
Yeah, that's pretty much how I feel about the situation. I guess if you're going to be wanting to turn him eventually, that would be the thing he sets up for like a couple of times before it happens. That's the only thing I think that'll happen. But realistically, at what point do you just say he can't be a heel? He can't be a tweener. We got to have him a full fledged face. At what point do you actually force it upon him?
Yeah, I don't know. I think that I think WWE right now is kind of starving for really good heels, because there really aren't. I mean, other than the Authority, I can't think of a good heel. I mean, they're trying to make Miz a good one, and they're doing an okay job with that. But what other mid-card heels can you think of? I mean, Fandango is kind of in limbo. I'm not sure exactly what Randy they're Orton. Doing with him. You know, Randy Orton's a part of the Authority, though. And so, you know, I mean, obviously Kane is too. So, you know, who else is there? I mean, Del Rio maybe? But even him, I mean, they're not showcasing him that well, and they're not doing a good job with him, I don't think.
Sandow?
Sandow is on the lowest of the low totem poles. Maybe Rollins, but Rollins is also part of the authority. So it's really tough right now. I mean, they don't have any good heels. And so I hate to say it, but Cesaro is probably one of the best mid-card heels they have there. So I think that's probably why they're doing it.
And this might be the point where we just turn Cena heel completely.
You know what? Maybe. Yes. Andy, I got to ask you, your boy Ricardo Rodriguez was released last week. You know, he was with Del Rio for a while. And then after that, he was doing the Spanish announce team. And now he's no longer with the company. What do you think?
Kind of a sad day, but his contract was going to expire. I think it's just a few days after SummerSlam. So might as well just let him go. The only thing that really doesn't make sense is that he gets paid more technically because he'll still get his downside guarantee, but he just can't go anywhere. That's fine. You know, I know that I think it's AAA is going to be starting up on one of the networks, at least that I get on DirecTV. You know, he'll probably run over there because like he is a name. But he also wanted to wrestle. Funny story, too, about this. Apparently, he was not going to be a part of Del Rio at all. They tried to get someone else to do it, and the person said no. So they didn't even hire him. But he got hired just to do this, which I thought was really interesting. Didn't know about it, but apparently that's how he got the announcing job.
Let me ask you this. Do you think that Ricardo helped get Del Rio over?
I think it did because you did not like him whatsoever because all he did was he came out, said his name, would not speak English, which I think got Del Rio more heel heat. And then I think it got annoying because people started booing him like towards the end before they turned face. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was cool, but also, since he's a wrestler, you could go out there and beat him up and he knows how to take it properly. So I thought that was kind of an interesting angle on this.
Yeah, I agree with you. I do think that he helped get him over. Of course, broken record. I think they pushed Del Rio to the top way too soon and that they should have had him in the mid-card area for a long time before, you know, pushing him down our throats. But anyway, Andy, I wanted to ask you, you know, of course, this also happened a couple weeks ago. Last week's show, we focused entirely on the WWE Network, you know, the phone call that they had. And of course, TNA is big news. So we're catching up on some other things that had gone on over the past couple of weeks. And one of them in particular was your boy, Daniel Bryan, Bryan Danielson, stopped a burglary in process.
Yeah, this is the weird one because he just got back from doing the panel with Sting. And that's like a big deal. Like, so he had Sting. I think Hogan was there. Was Hogan there at the panel?
Yeah, you're talking about at the San Diego Comic-Con.
Yeah, this is from the San Diego Comic-Con. So that happened that day. And then he flies back. His wife just goes to the airport, picks him up, and then brings him home. And then they get broken into, which I feel horrible about. But then Daniel Bryan is because Daniel Bryan's a real athlete. If you would have had this happen to some of the other guys, I don't think they would do a Daniel Bryan. Daniel Bryan, I think they said it was 100 meters away, dead sprint, got the guy, tackled him, put him in a rear naked choke for one of the guys, and held him there for 5 minutes till the police came and got him. But the thing is, Daniel Bryan showed restraint, and he could have broken this guy's neck if he wanted to made the guy basically make him really pass out, put a true sleeper hold on him. I can't believe that how good a shape he was in because he said that he was huffing and puffing. I wasn't. That just proves to me that he is a true athlete and most wrestlers are true athletes. The other thing is I can only imagine the look on the guy's face when he's like, oh, my gosh, this goat looking guy is catching up to me. Oh, no. Oh, no. And then when he gets tackled, I wish we had a video of it. That's all I got to say. But
well, I think it, you know, honestly, I think it was a B-plus performance. An A-plus player would have snapped his neck.
Yeah, but I guess the nice part is that they didn't get anything. And it's weird hearing him talk about how they really have nothing. He has nothing important. Except some wooden watches, which I'm intrigued by now, and a bracelet that his dad got him, and he almost, and he choked up when he started saying what the saying on it, which, you know, that's a big deal. So, you know, hats off to Daniel Bryan for his A-plus performance and actually showing restraint. And I still want to see the look in that guy's face when he sees that guy coming after him. But yeah, so hats off to that. By the way, if you want to check out, there was a press conference. It went 20 minutes long, but he did offer some interesting injury info. Do you remember what that was? He actually said that he's going to have a second surgery on his neck. So,
oh yes. Yeah.
So he's going to get that done. And hopefully he can be back soon, but he was saying that he still is having issues with you know what the funny thing is, he was only at like probably 50% and he still is able to do that. But he has strength issues in his arm. So they're going to get that looked at. But that was weird that they asked him that. You're almost like, was this scripted? But apparently it's not, because the guy was, he has some kidnapping issues as well. But anyway, so SmackDown, some rumors came recently with one of the production trucks. It got wrapped and put down Thursday, 7/8 Central. Did they jump the gun on
8/7 Central.
8/7 Central. Do you think they jumped the gun completely on this? Because, you know, someone ordered those wraps to be done, and then they decide to put that on there Thursdays.
Just a little bit.
Do you think that if they really do this, TNA can't do anything? They're done?
No, I don't. I think I'm not going to say it'll be good for TNA. It won't be, but I don't think it's going to pull the audience away from TNA. I think that if you're a wrestling fan who's looking for TNA, then you're going to be watching TNA. SmackDown is a B show. SmackDown is not a very, honestly, SmackDown is not a good show. You know, I was thinking about it, and while I watch SmackDown every single week, I've been thinking about it, and honestly, like, I probably watch maybe 10 minutes of the show, because the vast majority of it is recap after recap after recap of what happened on Raw. Well, if that's the case, why am I even watching SmackDown? I'm fast forwarding through the vast majority of it. Every now and then they do have some good matches. You know, they had Ambrose going against Cesaro a couple weeks ago, which was actually a really good match, and in a great, you know, great finish to it and everything. But at the end of the day, it's like, I don't really care as much. Unless I'm going to see a match like that on a weekly basis, who cares? Instead, it's a bunch of tag matches, a bunch of six-man tags, and not real tag teams, too. I have to throw that out there. It's not real tag teams. These are just thrown-together tag teams. SmackDown is not a very good show. It just isn't. It really is not. And so if they move to Thursday nights, I'm going to say that's fantastic. Even if I didn't have a DVR, I would choose TNA.
What if they decide just to run one show on Thursday just to see, test the waters, and up against the Impact? And what if Impact tanks in the first hour? Like, just completely, like, goes, like, I know they do like over 1 million viewers, but let's say it drops to like 200,000 viewers for the first hour. Does it just prove the point that WWE, if they want to, they will, they'll hurt
you? They could
you.
Put crap up against anything and it'll still sell.
Pretty much crap. You know? Yeah. Or, you know, but here's my thing. Like, let's just get TNA out of the mix. On the WWE Network, they run Now It's Total Divas, but then they have at 8:00 Central Standard Time, they have NXT, and then right after it, they have Superstars. Okay, are they going to move those two shows? Because I've gotten kind of used to watching NXT live at 8, or taped live at 8:00. What are your thoughts on that?
So my thoughts are, for NXT, it doesn't matter when they show. I you know, like most people, I watch my wrestling shows DVR'd. So I watch Raw typically on Monday nights, and I watch it about an hour and a half in. And then I fast forward through the vast majority of, you know, the crappy stuff and get to the meat and potatoes of everything. And I'm able to watch, you know, Raw in probably about an hour and a half to 2 hours. And SmackDown, like I said, 10 minutes. TNA Impact, probably a good hour and a half, I would say. I don't watch Superstars. I don't watch Main Event, because those are even like kind of less than SmackDown. You know, I mean, they don't put as much effort or as much thought into it. You're not really advancing storylines in there. You may have a good match or two, which is fine, but it's nothing super exciting. NXT, on the other hand, is a different story because it's about their farm system. It's about these new up-and-coming talents that we want to see on the main roster that are putting interesting storylines that maybe play really well down there that, you know, may not, you know, translate well to the main roster. So NXT I watch, you know, when I have time. I might watch it on a Saturday. I might watch it on Monday, you know. I watch it when it's available. And so if they move SmackDown to Thursdays and they can put NXT on any time, I don't care. They could say NXT is going to be on every Friday. I'm like, all right, that's cool. I'll watch it on Sunday. I'll watch it on Tuesday. You know, I'll watch it later in the week and it won't bother me. It might bother other people, but me personally, I don't have any issue with it.
All right. The other thing I thought would be cool or hilarious is if they decided to run NXT afterwards and they talked about it on SmackDown. Check out our other brand, NXT. And then let's just hypothetically say the numbers drop for Impact. We'll just say that goes from, we'll just say it drops to 400,000 for the first hour. And then let's say it drops, and then it's 400 for the first hour and then 800 the second hour. Does it just, and does that mean that Impact has no right? Like when they go up again, they try and renew their contract and did WWE just hurts them that bad? Do they have any pull then with Spike TV, or do they have to move to a different night, like Friday night?
You know, I think that I don't think that WWE would hurt them as much as you think that they will. I think that Impact is such a specialized thing in comparison to WWE. And on top of it, too, honestly, Impact is going to have, it's going to be new performers. It's going to be better performers than it will on SmackDown. And so I don't think that it's really going to hurt it in the way that you would expect it to. I think what will hurt them the most is Thursday Night Football on CBS. That is going to hurt.
Oh, that's right. But, you know, I guess that's a completely different story when you throw Thursday Night Football in. So let's get into the news. So Sandow versus Rollins is Ambrose versus Rollins is actually going to be a lumberjack match now. I'm trying to figure out why Ambrose picked this, but you know, this is something that we haven't seen in a while, a real lumberjack match. And this means that we're going to see Zack Ryder and Slater Gator out there, which I'm pretty happy about. What are your thoughts?
You mean the person who slayed Seth Rollins this past Monday night?
Oh, you mean Slater?
Yeah.
But then on main event the following night, he gets a win.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So,
I don't want to jinx anything, but he's on a 4-match winning streak right now. Oof. 4 matches. I mean, he beat Zack Ryder, Tyson Kidd. I mean, dude, I don't know. I mean, he could go all the way. I just want to say that. All right.
And he beat Seth Rollins, which, by the way, that entire segment with Ambrose, I was watching it live and I was cracking up. Because every time he'd do something, first the pop, then the popcorn, then he grabs JPL's hat. And I'm laughing about it. And then you could see the pop coming out. They even said something about the pop coming out of it. So everyone grabs their phones and devices and starts moving because they're like, we're not going to have it ruined over this segment. But I couldn't stop laughing because Ambrose is just a crazy character anyways. And I couldn't stop. That was one of those things. Like, I couldn't stop laughing at it because the look on his face was like, yep, this is what I'm doing. Rips up the Money in the Bank contract, which is going to be interesting because what happens if he rips it up and then he tries to cash it in? And they open up, they're like, oh, there's JBL's hat. He can't cash it in now.
Yeah. I want to say this much about Ambrose. Ambrose reminds me of Jake the Snake Roberts minus the drugs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
like just take the drugs out of the equation and you have Dean Ambrose, and that's Jake the Snake Roberts without the drugs. I think that Ambrose and Rollins, they probably have the most interesting feud going on right now. The fact that the last pay-per-view they didn't have the match, which you actually called, by the way, so kudos to you for that. The fact that they didn't have the match, I think, really intensifies it and really makes you go, man, I cannot wait to see these two get it on. Honestly, this is a main event caliber match on almost any other pay-per-view. That's the way it feels to me. This feels like a big, big match. You know, everyone's, of course, focused on Lesnar and Cena. But this feels like, if anything else, this feels like the number two. There, you know, people are going to be hyping Orton taking on, Roman Reigns. But I'm not as excited for that match. I'm more excited for this because I don't know who's going to win. This is a match where either guy could win. And I think that they're both equal strength. You know, the other ones, I don't know. I feel like they're very predictable. But Lumberjack match, I think, is interesting because, like you said, we haven't seen those in a while. I wonder if they're going to really have everyone out there. I wonder what type of, trickery they're going to be doing. I don't know. It'll be kind of cool to see.
One, just a side note, in real life, these two guys never liked each other. I don't know if they ever got along once since the Shield rode together. But realistically, Ambrose and Rollins, or Black, whatever you want to call them, hated each other, like legitimately. At one point. And I thought that was kind of interesting. Saw it if you want to watch the Kevin Steen show with Chris Hero, one of the better ones that he's done. Anyway, so Cesaro is still doing favors for people under him. Why?
I don't know. I get it. Every now and then you have to do favors, you know, and we had talked about Cesaro and you know, the spot he's in. And you know, he lost to Ziggler this week, which honestly, I think that he's a little bit above Ziggler. And it was such a quick match. It wasn't even like Ziggler just happened to get one over him. It was a quick match. And Cesaro deserves better than that. But then, you know, this past Friday on SmackDown, the week before, he loses to Swagger, and he taps to Swagger. I are you serious? Like, really? Like, They had a nice little feud going on after WrestleMania when they split them apart and they were really pushing Cesaro, and then they decide to just, you know, really drop him down. I don't understand this at all. I really have no idea what they're doing with Cesaro. And it really bothers me because this was a guy that they were pushing and then they really stopped it.
I'm wondering if they did that so then when he goes against Brock Lesnar, which is probably going to happen, this can make him bigger, but you think that they kind of stopped the momentum, even though he left Paul Heyman. I was like, big deal. And like, it was almost like, all right, move on. But they didn't move on that. If that makes sense. It's just, I'm still questioning it. I really am. It just bothers me that this guy, like you said, was going all the way to the top and everything was done right for him. And then it's like, put on the brakes. We got to talk about Brock Lesnar here for a while.
But, you know, I hope that they don't go down this route, because then I would tell him to quit. But, you know, like with Sandow, who was one of my favorite heels of last year. And, you know, honestly, the program they had with him and Cody when they were fighting over the briefcase, I really enjoyed that. I really liked that mid-card feud that they had going on, because they didn't really have any other mid-card feuds. And this was really good. And I think that it helped elevate both of them to a higher status. But then Sandow cashes in on Cena, loses it, and then they just dropped him down to lower mid-card hell. And it seems like they're doing the same thing to Cesaro right now, because they don't have anything for him. And I think that's a huge mistake, because he is very powerful. And, you know, the match he had with Cena 2 weeks ago was, I thought, really good. I thought that they put on a really good match. And I think that they can work pretty well together. And Cesaro's the type of guy that if you build him as a mega heel, he can go against your John Cena, you know, like you're trying to do with Rusev.
Or what if Cesaro beats Cena for the title and then Rollins cashes in?
Yeah, but Cesaro is so far on the totem pole that he'll never go against Cena for the title anytime soon.
Well, maybe. You never know. Maybe he's in a three-way with Lesnar. You know, you could do that.
We're not talking about Buff Bagwell here, okay? We're talking about Cesaro.
Ooh, so let's move on. Let's talk about some Stardust, speaking of that. Stardust comes back, gets a win, and then gets a loss on main event to Slater Gator. One of them hurts, and they just taped, 5 weeks of vignettes. Is that what happened, or?
I'm not sure. Yeah, I think that they probably just gave them time off. They just taped all the vignettes and then they were like, hey, just take some time off. Or let's work a couple house shows. Let's see what people think about you. I gotta ask you, what are your thoughts on Stardust?
I hope they break up. It's weird to me. Like, that character of Stardust is just, you're like, what? Like, I just don't get it. I guess to me, this is one of those gimmicks. I'm like, all right, Cody Rhodes has done a lot. Everything they ask, he does, and he doesn't complain about it. Then he's like, you know, I've been thinking about doing this for a while. It's called Stardust. Hey, I already have the gear for it and everything, and my gloves and the contacts. So what do you guys think? We'll give you 5 weeks. You know, but it's over. But to me, this is so weird.
Well, do you like Goldust?
Not really. I like Dustin Rhodes, like the Dustin Reynolds. I like him, but I don't like Goldust. So like with Cody Rhodes, I have a problem. Like, I like Cody Rhodes. I don't like Stardust. So that's my issue.
I people might be surprised, but I agree with you. I don't like Goldust. In fact, in the early 90s, one of the things about WWF at the time that I really hated was Goldust. I just didn't like the character. I thought it was really stupid. And I was young at the time, so, you know, I was like, this is really dumb, and they have all these colorful characters. They don't have real wrestlers, and I hated it. I really did. Like, one of the reasons I stopped watching wrestling for a little while, I hate to say, was actually Goldust. Like, it was just like, all right, if this is the route it's going, I don't want to see this anymore. You know, I like Goldust with Cody Rhodes, though. I like them as the Rhodes brothers. I thought that was kind of cool. And the Stardust character is kind of interesting, but it's something that to me, I don't think has a lasting value. And I think that Cody Rhodes has gone through so many different hoops, being all this, you know, all these different people, from Legacy to Dashing to the ugly one where he gave out paper bags, to, you know, the mustache guy, and then Rhodes Scholars, and then the Rhodes Brothers. They've been doing so much with him to just like throw anything out the wall to see what sticks. I think that honestly, Cody Rhodes has charisma, and he is a type of guy who is a upper mid-card person that potentially could be a main eventer one day, but definitely, you know, is an upper mid card guy easily. And I think that they really need to use him as that. And I don't think that they're doing a very good job. And so Stardust, I think, unless they're going to end it soon, I don't think is a good idea.
Well, he ordered the green gear for it, so we'll see how long this really lasts. So,
well, they got a rock star, so I mean, that's okay.
True. All right, so what do you think about the whole Brie Bella thing and Stephanie McMahon? Do you think, especially on Raw, where she pedigreed both Brie and whatever the other one's name is?
Cena.
Cena, yeah.
Cena Bella.
Cena Bella, yes. Yeah.
Well, so Andy, they were the main event segment the past two Raws. I got to ask you, man. I mean, Stephanie McMahon and Brie Bella are the final segment for Raw. What do you think?
The only reason that this should be the final segment is if something happens and Triple H did something to Brie and you hear Daniel Bryan's music kick.
I would agree. Yeah.
Then things change. Because then he's back in the eye. People are chanting yes over and over again. But the problem is that if you do that, it's not about Brie and Stephanie anymore. It's about Daniel Bryan versus the Authority again. That's how I feel. Because, you know, Triple H is always out there, you know, that's just one of those things.
Well, the thing is, Bryan's, you know, the reports are saying that he won't be back until Royal Rumble at the earliest, is what I've been reading. So we're probably not going to see Bryan on TV. They'll probably keep him away until, you know, really, really big event. I was kind of thinking about it, and SmackDown's going to be out here in Seattle here in a week or two. And I was thinking about going to it, but then I'm like, oh, wait, I hate SmackDown. I'm not going to go to that. So, and on top of it, too, the people that they're advertising, it's like, I don't really care. However, though, if they had a Raw, like, let's say, I don't know, in January, like 3 weeks before Royal Rumble, and Daniel Bryan was advertised to be there, or, you know, there was a chance he would be there for a Raw, I would go to it, and that'd be exciting to see Daniel Bryan return. But honestly, I don't think that we're going to see him until Royal Rumble.
Ouch. Well, I guess we're going to be stuck only seeing Nikki and Brie.
Well, but so it sounds though like this segment and this feud you're kind of down on.
I just don't care about it. This is one of those feuds again that they're pushing, and Stephanie wants to wrestle because she wants to prove that yes, she can do it. But you know, when you have Brie and Nikki, who are wrestlers, yes, they are models or whatever you want to say first, but they wrestle. So they know how to do certain things. And Stephanie pulls out a pedigree, which I'm sorry, but pretty much anyone can do, because it's a simple move to learn after 5 minutes, and it probably took her 20. But I guess she is an athlete. Maybe it'll work out, but I'm just worried that it could be a horrible match. Like, horrible. So.
Well, anyways. You know, I don't think it's going to be a good match, but. You know, I mean, Stephanie has wrestled in the past, and so it's not like she's completely inept, but we're going to have two women's matches on this show, on the SummerSlam, and I don't think that either of them are going to be that good.
I disagree. I think Paige versus AJ Lee, I think this time it'll be better.
Yeah, we'll see.
All right. So let's thank our sponsor, HostGator. Are you a blogger or podcaster, or are you just not happy with your web host? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click strip installs with a free site builder, and hands down the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo to see how easy it is. And if you use the special coupon code OffTheMark, you're going to save 25% off your web hosting packages. So what do you got to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite out of your web hosting costs. Also, make sure you check out Section 86's Off the Mark page and click on the banner at the top to save big on items at WWEshop.com. So let's talk about some Impact Wrestling this week. Impact spoiled it. Dixie goes through a table. Mm-hmm. It happens. Come on. They spoiled this. This ruined Impact.
Really? It ruined Impact for you?
Well, because you knew it was happening. I mean, yeah, if you read the spoilers, you knew it was going to happen. But the fact that they started advertising it and they put her up and he's about to throw her through the table. Come on, dude. That's just messed up. Know,
actually, advertising wise, I'm OK with it. Marketing wise, because right now, the only people who's doing any type of marketing for TNA is TNA. Spike's not doing it. Viacom's not doing it. So the only way that TNA can get viewers is actually to promote themselves. And I think that if you watched Impact last week, and they've actually been improving on the ratings the past couple of weeks, if you watched Impact and that was the final thing that you saw, you'd go, cliffhanger? Okay, I'm going to watch this next week. I'm going to see what they do. Because at that point in time, it's like, are they actually going to put her through a table, you know, or is she going to somehow wiggle her way out like they've done so many times before? So I think that it actually was a good thing.
The weird part is like just her going through it. If she would have been trained properly, I think it would have looked a lot better. But when you put someone who is not trained to actually do that, like when Bubba did Mae Young, like that was brutal. Mm-hmm. But see, Mae Young knew how to take it. So she was like, do it, wimp. You know, I know she said something else and supposedly.
Yeah.
Anyways, there's a rib done there. But the thing is, he did it and he didn't have to protect her. This one just looked like, how should I put it? He went through the motions just to protect someone that it should have looked a lot brutal. But, you know, camera angles, they hurt you.
Yeah, well, obviously Dixie's not trained. She was really injured in the spot itself. That's been reported. She's better now. I mean, because, you know, of course, this was taped like 4 weeks ago. But either way, I mean, this is why you need to be trained for this. You know, people say wrestling is fake, and that's fantastic. Yes, but it's still people get hurt. And if you don't do things properly, you're going to get hurt. And I think this is an example of that. It was kind of satisfying, though, to see her go through a table. You know, this is something that they've been teasing for a long time. So to finally see it happen, I think it was actually one of the perfect times to do it, too. I think that they I think if you went any shorter, you might have missed an opportunity. And I think if you would have let it go on even longer, you might have, you know, Randy Orton that stay. So I think that was pretty good.
I disagree with you. This should have been done in Bound for Glory.
Oh, really? So you
have it so you have to pay to see it.
Oh, so you would have had it like really.
Oh, yeah.
Really stretched out.
I would have had it. If they said that, hey, let's do this angle. Fine. Great. But here's the deal. We're going to have it done at Bound for Glory. Have it done at a pay-per-view. Don't have it done on a free show. That's my problem with this. It was kind of interesting because it was at, you know, they did it in New York, but I would have rather had it happen at a pay-per-view just because if they got her into a situation, and especially if they're pushing on social media, like, oh my gosh, she's putting her through a table. That would be intriguing to me. Especially if you started taking out people the day before or on that Thursday before Bound for Glory. If he started taking one guy out at a time, to basically make it so then I'm going to get you on Sunday. They could have led up to it, but, you know, whatever. But anyway, so let's talk about Lashley. Lashley is now, his next opponent's going to be Bobby Roode, which I find interesting.
But well, they're teasing it. It looks like it's going to be Roode. I think that they're maybe testing waters, too, for Bound for Glory, because I think Lashley's going to hold the title until then. I think that we're probably going to see Roode take it off of him. I don't know if there's any other people that are worthwhile, to be honest. I think that Roode is the one right now that if you look at him, it's like Roode needs to be the guy to do it. Especially with everything that was going on with him in MVP. I think that this is a great opportunity here because if EY does it, that'd just be dumb. I mean, EY doesn't need to have the title. EY was over without it. And, you know, giving him the title was, I still think, one of the worst ideas that they've had. But I think that Roode is a credible enough opponent. And Lashley, honestly, I think he has been doing fantastic with his run in TNA. He doesn't really have to say much. All he has to do is go out there, look intimidating, and sell. And he did a fantastic job with Aries. He did a fantastic job with Hardy. And I think that with Roode, because Roode's a bigger guy, I think that then it's a little more believable. And I think that we're going to have a pretty good match between these two once we actually finally get it.
I agree. But here's my thing with Bobby Lashley. When you read spoilers and you hear what's going on, it doesn't seem like, to me, it's like, oh, it makes Lashley look horrible as a champion. But then when you watch it, it's a little bit different. So in a way, they're doing a good job making Lashley look intimidating opposed to, I guess, on paper. Because to me, on paper, he doesn't look intimidating. But when they start showcasing him and him looking the way he does and having a mouthpiece for him, that makes him intimidating to me.
The guy is like 6'3 and like 280 pounds of muscle. That guy just alone is intimidating.
Yeah, like, but his body fat's like 6%, so it's not that intimidating.
Oh, really? Yeah, because I'm sure that's what you you like on your men, right?
Anyways, so let's talk about Samoa Joe. He won the X Division title, so we no longer have a weight limit. For this, it's just a style that you have to wrestle, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, that's what's going on.
Yeah. But what about Samoa Joe winning? I mean, what do you think? You know, is it a good thing that he won the title?
Too little, too late. I believe that Samoa Joe has run its course for TNA. Them giving.
Really?
Yeah. Mostly because he should have gone to the WWE at the time. And I know that he doesn't want to get retrained as a wrestler. But the thing is, they could use a guy like that. And I think he would get over with the crowds, like major over. He goes to TNA. He wins the X title. Okay, he still wrestles that style to a certain extent. But there's not a lot of guys his size that can wrestle that way. So it's one of two things. Do you have him lose weight or do you have him stop wrestling that way? I guess that's how I look at it.
Well, I think that, you know, I agree. I think that he does not want to be retrained. And Samoa Joe seems like the type of guy that would have a little bit of an attitude about it. And he'd be like, no, that's not what I'm going to do. And he's really good friends with John Cena. They actually train together. And so Cena, I'm sure, would be pretty happy to have Samoa Joe there. He probably has lobbied for him. But Joe is probably really happy with the, you know, his current lot in life with TNA, and he could go to WWE and work the 250 dates a year, but he may not be happy with doing that. You know, he may not want to be away from his family or away from people for that long period of time. And he's a little bit older. And so, you know, how many years does he have left in him? You know, is he able to go in there and really make an impact? No pun intended, in WWE, you know, I mean, they have such a, you know, a large roster right now. What are they going to be able to do with Samoa Joe that would make him stand out among their best?
You know, that is a great question. But, you know, they could always bring Shelton Benjamin back and have him be showcased and have it flop. But I guess with Samoa Joe, you need to have, he needs, I wish that he was just somewhere else, if that makes sense. And I like the wrestler. It just doesn't seem like he's fits in at TNA, if that makes sense. That's the one. That's my beef. To me, it doesn't work.
I've always thought of him, you know, after AJ Styles, I think Samoa Joe is Mr. TNA. You know, it's kind of like with, you know, WCW, I think Sting, then I think Ric Flair. And I would say TNA, that's what I would, you know, I associate it with, even though they've been with other promotions, obviously. But I don't know. I like Samoa Joe. I'm glad that he wins the X Division Championship. You know, I'm glad that they finally, that they're going to do something with this. I've been saying it for years. I think they'd be an amazing TNA champion. You know, I think that he has, he's really the total package. I mean, he really is. And TNA should be really lucky to have a guy like him. They just need to showcase him more. You know, it's kind of like with Chris Hero, you know, I mean, granted, Chris Hero obviously had an attitude problem, but in WWE, you know, he could have been a monster there. I mean, he really could have, if he would have, you know, maybe just kind of sucked up a little bit more and kind of swallowed his pride.
Actually, he said that he never talked back to the officials what he was saying. That's the one thing when he was on the Steen show. And the way him, what he was saying, he said that, you know, he did say that they did tell him to tone up, which he was doing, but because that's what they wanted. But he also told me, or I'm sorry, he also said on the show that he did feel that it was coming, that his release was imminent. And in fact, a funny side script or side note on this, he called a promoter because they were doing a show and he said, "Hey, I'm Chris here. I worked at one point, blah, 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 for you." The guy's like, "Oh, well, all the tables are filled. So if you want to show up, we'll see if we can get you in." Had no idea who Chris Hero was, and which I thought was pretty interesting. And he did work for the guy at one point. Apparently he forgot about him. But hey, I can talk about the Chris Hero thing for a while. But anyways, Samoa Joe, I'm glad that he has a title. The other thing also, if Samoa Joe did appear for the WWE, I believe that he would be over, but then they would be like, "Huh, what are we supposed to do with Cesaro again?" That's pretty much it. So,
well, I think that they would probably try to turn him into a monster heel, you know, and the same way that they have been doing with Rusev, or, you know, like in a stupid way. I think that they would just mismanage him horribly. I think that they wouldn't have no idea what to do with him, and that they would probably just like Sam Punk him, you know,
Sami Zayn. So,
yeah, exactly.
I can go on and on about Solomon Crowe, or you know, the fact that he does only dark matches and NXT tapings, and then Sami Zayn coming out and basically putting guys over, and he doesn't need to. He's polished. You know, I know it's a different brand, but at some point you got to start moving people up and down. And that's the one thing also, is that you have to remember that that is a separate brand. And it's not the minor leagues. It's, you have your Raw/SmackDown, and then you have your NXT. So anyway, so that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you're into the Twitter, you can follow the show at OffTheMark86. I want to thank 86 Productions for hosting and editing the podcast. And I want to thank all of our listeners for taking the time to download and listen to the show. And for Aaron Hughes, I am Andrew Hughes. And until next time, see you in the ring.